Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so blessed that you have chosen to worship our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us here this morning. Before we begin our time of worship here this morning, just a couple brief announcements. Hey, it's all good. It's wonderful to be with our family and friends here in God's house. And just if you would, notice in the bulletin, just a correction on the financial report. That is a typo for the building loan needed per week. It is not $756. It is still $375. So make note of that. That is my mistake from the office. And so I don't want anyone to read that and be up in arms like, why did that increase? So on the back of your bulletin, there's just a couple of announcements to highlight. Vacation Bible School setup will be next Saturday, 1 p.m., June the 13th. And then the stage setup will take place next Sunday, June the 14th at 1 p.m. This Wednesday, we will continuing to finalize the decorations for Vacation Bible School. And friends, it is upon us. VBS will be June 15th through the 19th, and so we would covet your prayers. We would covet you lifting this vital outreach ministry up in prayer during your daily devotion time. Please make note of the other announcements in your bulletin, and as God leads, please be involved as you are led by the Spirit of God. Psalm 113 tells us this: "We praise you, Lord. All your servants praise you. We praise your name, O Lord. Blessed be your name, both now and forever, from the rising of the sun to its setting. Your name, O Lord, is to be praised. You are high above all nations, your glory above the heavens. Who is like you, O Lord, our God? The one who is enthroned on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth." Friends, we do praise the Lord, and that is why we have gathered to worship Christ our King, to sing praises unto his holy name. So let's bow our heads and our hearts and go before our coming King, Christ Jesus. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity, for the opportunity and the privilege, the honor, and just the wondrous time that we can have to sing praises unto you, to exalt your holy name, to lift on high your goodness and your grace. And so, Father, we commit this service unto your care. We pray that you would meet us in it, you would open our minds, you would move our hearts, and you would impact our feet, that we might truly grow in our relationship with you, O Christ, our Savior. And so, Father, send your Spirit to quicken our hearts. Send your Spirit to move us closer to you. And Jesus, may all that is said, all that is done, all that is sung here this morning be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We love you and we praise you. We honor you and we bless you. For it is in the wonderful and the gracious and the holy and the truthful name of Jesus we do pray. Amen.
As we bow our heads, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Father, and if there's anyone here that just needs that touch from you today, give it to them, Lord. Don't let them worry about anything at all. You've washed it all away, everything. You want just a bright future. The past is gone. Only the future remains in you. Father, we ask a special blessing over this service. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, junior worship is now dismissed for those children in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared, especially for the children during this time. This morning's scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Mark, Chapter 12, verses 38 through 44, If you're utilizing your Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1576. I will be reading from the New King James translation, so as you follow along, you'll probably see a little bit different variation in this, but if you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44, and follow along as we read the Lord's Word. Then he, meaning Jesus, said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had had, her whole livelihood." May God bless the reading of his word. At this time, may we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings. If the ushers would please come, may we all give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. You may be seated. Some years ago, I was up late at night when I was in seminary and I was studying, and it was probably like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and the TV was on just for background noise. And all of a sudden, a pastor came on, and there was a church service. And I was just oblivious to it until he started waving this green handkerchief around and enticing people to mail checks to him. And the amounts that he was inquiring or requesting of people really wasn't according to what they should be giving, but it was according to the guilt trip that he was placing on them. Friends, I want us to go back to the Gospel of Mark one more time, and I hope to remove some of the guilt that sometimes all of us feel when we do talk about money. And this morning, I want to share with you what Jesus' message is not from the parable of the widow's mite. And if you'll follow along, beginning in verse 38 of chapter 12 of the Gospel of Mark, please listen and follow along. And we are going to look at what Jesus' message is not, and then we're going to look at what Jesus' message is. And it's imperative, it's important that we understand that, especially because of the sacrifice that Jesus laid down for you and for me, and how much he did pay. He paid his entire life. And it's essential that we grasp this. And this is the final week in this series on financial focus. So follow along, beginning in verse 38. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes. They love greetings in the marketplaces. They love the best seats in the synagogues and the best places at feasts. They devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself, and Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." The setting was this. In ancient Israel, during Jesus' day, in the worship, in the synagogue, you would have the intimate Holy of Holies in the temple worship, and outside of that, you would have the court of men. Further out, you would have the court of women, and this is where the treasury was. you had 13 different boxes, and they called them the shofar, meaning the trumpet-shaped boxes lining the entire outside of the court of women. Now, men and women could be in that court, and so Jesus, he retreats, and he sits opposite the treasury and begins to observe all the people going and worshiping. Now, the interesting thing about the boxes or the shofars, the boxes for the money, they would be labeled for different things. If you look at an offering envelope, we do the same. You can label it for the building fund. You can label it for the general fund. You can label it for missions and friends. They did the same in ancient Israel. Now, Jesus begins to share what he observes. Now, they would make big, you know, fanfare, and they would ring bells the more money that they put in the boxes or in the offering. And so obviously with the checks or with the money that they would put in, they probably didn't have checks in their day, but they would make this great fanfare to draw attention to themselves. Now the scribes, the Pharisees, they would prey on the guilt of people, and they would always try to get people to put in more money. And so, friends, it's imperative we grasp that Jesus' message is not to give everything. I'll say that again. Jesus' message is not to give everything. When he observes a widow who goes forward and puts in two mites, which is equivalent to basically two pennies in our day, that's all she had. But in Jesus' day, widows, all business was transacted or conducted through men. And so if you found yourself as a widow and you had no son, you had no husband, you were dependent upon the system. And so the guilt being laid upon the widows by the Pharisees, the scribes, and that religious system is what Jesus is condemning. And friends, we have it in our world too. We have these pastors that say, mail in these ginormous checks and we'll send you this prayer cloth and put God to the test and God will restore what you have given. And friends, Jesus' message is not to give everything. The implication there is this. A few moments we're going to meet around the Lord's table, and if Jesus paid everything, that indicates we don't have to pay everything. The implication means that if we are required to pay everything, then Jesus, his sacrifice, wasn't enough. Jesus, friends, gave it all so that we don't have to. Jesus gave everything so that we could have everything. You see, God is a loving God. He doesn't want us to give all of our money. That's not what God wants. He wants us to live life and live it to the full, to be full of joy, for that is exactly why Christ came. Sure, there's a place and there's a time to sacrificially give, but friends, don't let that be determined by me or any other pastor saying they're going to mail you something and you should put God to the test. Let the Holy Spirit of God draw you and lead you in that. If God is asking you to sacrifice something, may it be God that leads you in that. May it not be a man or a person, because friends, Jesus sacrificed everything so that we could have life. It's imperative. Jesus is not esteeming the widow who gave everything. He's condemning the religious leaders, saying they ought not devour the widow's homes, and that's exactly what they would do. Jesus gave his life so we could live. But this is where it comes to. So you might be sitting there wondering, what is Jesus' message? And Jesus' message is for all of us to give sacrificially. We should give with a cheerful heart. We should give as God leads us. And friends, this is sacrificially giving. It means to give from who we are and not what we have. This is where we as Americans, we can fall into trouble. Because we look at our checkbooks and we say, well, I can afford to give this and not that. And that's what Jesus is speaking out against as well. You have the rich individuals in his day giving out of their abundance, and then you have the widow giving out of all that she has. And friends, Jesus stated it himself, that the servants are not greater than the master. If Jesus didn't hold anything back, we shouldn't hold anything back either. As long as the Spirit of God is leading you and me to give. So sacrificial giving, it means to give from who we are and not what we have. That's essential. It's vital. It's imperative that we grasp that. Because even when we're talking about time and treasures and talents and those things that are items, materialistic goods that we have at home, sometimes we'll look and we'll say, I've got three of this. I can afford to give one away. Maybe God's leading you and me to give all three away. Maybe God is leading you and me to do something. But many times God won't lead you or me to give it all. Sacrificial giving means to give from your hearts. Don't give because you want to draw attention to yourself. Don't give because you think of the praise and the acclamation, the adoration you'll receive here on this earth. Give because your heart is moved. Give because the risen Christ, through his Holy Spirit, is drawing you to give. Give because it's God's will for you. Give from your heart. Give from who you are. And friends, lastly, sacrificial giving means to give with the proper motive, meaning we give not to get. We don't give or mail a check to get a prayer cloth so that we can put God to the test and receive back tenfold. That's not the motive to give. We give because we love God for what he has done. He laid down his life and gave life for you and for me. We give because we praise him and we honor him. We give because that's what he asks us to do. It doesn't matter. Money, time, talents, treasures. We give because he first gave. We like the verses all through the scripture that say, not that we first loved, but that he first loved us. When it's coming our way, we love that. But friends, a servant is not greater than the master. A servant is you and me. And when that comes our way, we receive, we receive, we receive. But Jesus says, look, you now are my hands and feet into this world. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And because he first gave, therefore we too have to give. And that is your responsibility and mine. I'll just share a little example here. I'm a firm believer that I can't go or lead someone further than I'm willing to go. We were talking about the faithful fives, and every single week that we have done this, and I am not saying this to pat myself on the back, but I can attest, every single week I have stepped up and I have put into the faithful fives, because I cannot stand up here with a clear conscience and ask you to do the same thing if I am not willing to do that as well. And friends, that is exactly what Jesus is saying to you and to me. He can't expect us to give sacrificially with the right motive from who we are and not out of our abundance. But he can, because he gave it all. And so your responsibility, my responsibility, in talking about finances, is to understand that Jesus is not in this text praising giving 100%. That is not what he's saying. But his message is this: to give sacrificially, to give out of your heart, to give out of who you are, and to give with the right motive. That is the message of Christ our King. And friends, the servant is not greater than the master. We are the servants. We're going to meet around the Lord's table. And when we meet around the Lord's table, we should remember the gift that Christ gave for all of us. The gift of life. The gift of passing through death and overcoming sin. The gift of one day being resurrected with our Savior. The gift of an eternal home. The gift of having love from God, who is God, being poured into our hearts. The gift of peace, not peace that this world knows, but peace that comes from within. The gift of joy. The gift of truth. And friends, I could go on and on and on. May we not hoard those gifts. May we give those gifts freely, willingly. I spoke about spiritual currency many weeks ago. And friends, as Christ, our Savior, gives you and me those gifts, may we not like it because it's coming to us, but may we look with the eyes of our risen Savior, Jesus, for every single opportunity to bless those people that we come across and bless them with a word of love, bless them with a handshake of acceptance, to bless them with an encouragement, to bless them with the gifts that Christ has blessed you and me with. And so as we meet around the table, and as we celebrate the bread and the cup, may we understand that, yes, this gift was for you, it was for me, it was for all people, but this gift came with a price. And that price, friends, was the life of God incarnate. God laying down his life. And to be in the relationship with Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, it comes with a price. It comes with the price of giving your heart, of giving Jesus your life, of giving all your desires over to the living Lord. And friends, this is why Jesus does not say, and I cannot emphasize that enough, he does not say to give everything that you have, but what he will require of you and me every single time. He will require for you and me to give our hearts to him and to hold nothing back. And when we start there, then let him lead you with how you work, how you deal, how you manage your finances, how you manage your time, how you manage your treasures, and how you utilize your talents. And so friends, let us all meet around the Lord's table. Let us praise him. Let us celebrate the gift, the blessed gift that Christ has given for you and for me. And let us understand that we need to give out of who we are. We need to give from our hearts. And we need to give with the right motives. And it starts with our life, not with the checkbook. And friends, that is your responsibility and mine. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Jesus, we thank you that you are a good God. You're a merciful God, and you want what's best for us. Lord, you don't lord anything over us. You don't require us to do things that are not according to your will. We bless you for that. We praise you for that. We honor you for that. And we love you because you first loved us. O coming King, may you meet with us as we meet around your table. May we celebrate with you the victory that is ours in you, O Jesus. The victory over death and sin, and the victory of you being seated at the right hand of a holy God. And we thank you for that, O Christ. We love you and we praise you. May you bless the elements, the bread and the cup, and may we remember the meaning that they hold for us. May this not just be a time where we just observe this time of just meeting around your table, but may it be a special, a holy, a precious, a reverent time where we truly can feel the gaze of you upon all of us, the smile of you upon our lives, and may we just be blessed by that. For it is in you and only you, O Christ, that we all are worthy. And we thank you for that. Lead us and guide us to accept our responsibility. May you give us your eyes to reject any things that are not what you would have us to do. But may our lives be a fragrant offering unto you. May our lives reflect your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your truth. And O Christ, we love you. We bless you, and we thank you, and we lift this to you in the wonderful name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus, we do pray. Amen. As we prepare to meet around the Lord's table, I'm just going to have individuals to come as you feel led, as the Spirit of God leads you to come forward. And if Ray and Nick, if you would come forward now, may we prepare our hearts to meet around the Lord's table this morning. Isn't God good? Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm just welling up with just goodness right now. God is good, truly, truly good. Let's bow our heads and our hearts and go before our loving Savior here this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, we bless you, oh Jesus. We thank you for this special time, this holy and reverent time, and we just love you, oh Christ. May this love that you have poured into each of our hearts, may it just bubble over and may it just truly be poured out onto others throughout each and every blessed day. We thank you, O Jesus, for the sacraments of the bread and the cup and for all of your blessings that you grant to us each and every waking hour, each and every day. May we keep you mindful of our hearts and in our daily life, and may your holy presence just be an honor and a blessing to each of us. We thank you, O Christ, and we lift this to you in the wonderful name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. As we close here this morning, I would just like to challenge all of us throughout this next week to look for God, because friends, we truly do worship and serve a great God. And he is there in our midst each and every day. All we have to do is open our eyes and give thanks. Give praise unto him. For he and he alone truly is worthy. And he alone is truly a great God. And now may the peace of the risen Christ and the joy of our loving Savior and the love of God incarnate flood your hearts, your souls, your minds, and your very being. And may he bless you and keep you. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.